What's up, guys? Welcome to Real Estate Podcast, episode 235. I'm here with Griffin.
I'm here with Trev.
And I'm here with Adam.
This week we watched Halloween Kills.
Finally.
For Halloween.
We've been waiting.
Yeah. Really did he?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. He upped the fucking murder factor and the they upped the gore quite a bit too. So this movie was supposed to come out last year.
Damn.
And they had to push it out because, you know.
Yeah.
Pandemics and stuff. Yeah, exactly. So it was, you know, like they had been sitting on it for a while. And we had been looking forward to it since last year because, I mean, you know, yeah. We had the whole month of Halloween being Halloween themed, you know.
I love the message of mob rule in this film.
I mean, they really went balls to the wall with that shit, didn't they?
Evil lands tonight, y'all.
Yeah.
Hold my beer.
Yeah, I know, right? But this is what I said to Adam a little bit earlier. I was like, you know, this feels like almost a stereotypical middle film.
Yeah.
Because like,
I was going to bring that up, yeah.
They upped everything to 11. You know, the kills, the fucking crazy shit.
But even the stupid, like going in somewhere you shouldn't go. Like,
yeah.
And it's like, don't do that. And they do it every time.
But I like Griffin said, though, it does suffer middle film syndrome. Like, you know, the main characters aren't going to die.
Yeah.
It's strictly like,
killing red shirts.
Yeah. Couldn't have said
but a bunch of them.
And this is kind of my thing too. It's like, you know, that they brought in a lot of the, you know, a lot of the characters from the original film, even more so in this one. And it's like they had to get them out of the way.
Well, so and it was cool that like they, cuz the whole thing, remember in the marketing for the first film, or at least in some of the interviews with the director and with Jamie Lee Curtis, you know, they talk about how this trilogy's about trauma, and I liked how the movie was a good look at the town. And I think that was a great direction to use for a middle film. Like, get the town's reaction and their perspective on this whole situation. That way the last movie can be the true showdown, you know?
Yeah. I like a lot of... Oh, go ahead.
When the old couple's in there with that drone, and that lady looks at him and they bring up Laurie, and she's like, don't talk about that woman. She'll fuck you up, dude.
Yeah, like they would have a drone.
Yeah, right. You know,
I was just like, okay. Yeah. He fucked them up, though.
Yeah, he did.
Big John, Little John, Trav.
Oh, my dude. God.
They were my favorite.
Big John, Little John. Big John was the guy from Righteous Gemstone.
And the other one was from Mad TV.
Yeah. No.
Stewart.
I don't wanna do it.
Dude, that guy in that role from Mad TV, man, like I always appreciate his appearances and stuff.
Why was Little John bigger than Big John?
I think Big John was older than Little John.
Or it's something, you know.
Yeah, he's bigger. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's toting a Hogan.
He's toting Big John.
How cool was it with Bill Paxton and how they reshot those sequences from the original Halloween in the, like, you know, especially the cold opening?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm over here like, it looks so real, but I'm like, was this in the movies?
Right, there were moments.
They did a good job
like,
at making it look like it was even shot on an older camera. It probably was, because it had that 70s.
Yeah,
everything, the aspect ratio, everything.
Loved our Season of the Witch cameo, which was
the mask.
Pretty cool that they, dude.
Yeah, that was cool. I saw that. The one that gave it away, because I saw the pumpkin and the skeleton, but when it cut to the witch mask, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, that shit was awesome. And, like, you know, like you said, how the town responds to this, even though it's been 40 years since this has happened. It's just an interesting way that they approach the topic that, like, have they ever approached it in this way before in a horror film?
I don't think so.
I mean, because most of the time the town's scared as fuck and they're all trying to, like, seek shelter, not fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like
either like that or they Western, just don't know about it.
Yeah.
Where the where the shop keep, you know, like a Western film where the shop keep, like, you see him looking out the window, yeah, and he shuts his blinds real quick. Like,
you don't want to go out on Black Lake tonight, you know?
Yeah.
Spins the yarn. That's what fishing's about.
Which I appreciated the Anthony Michael Hall appearance. Yeah. Was he in the first one?
No. I don't believe so. And see, Paul Rudd played Tommy in Halloween 4, and they wanted to try to bring him back, but I don't know if it was scheduling conflicts or if he just wasn't interested in being it.
He was like, I'm Ant-Man.
Yeah, I'm
working for Ant-Man. Fuck out of here.
Which, I mean, you can't really sell the fact that Paul Rudd's like 55 years old.
Yeah, because he doesn't age.
Either. No. Like,
he's that old, he won't even look that old.
No. I think he's 50 now. Is 55. He? I think so. Hold on. Paul Rudd age. 52.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
Doesn't look a day over 35.
Yeah.
Did you guys happen to catch some of the final appearances on, like, of Conan O'Brien's show?
I saw his final one on there.
Did you see Paul Rudd's final appearance too?
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
And we get that and he classic. Still brought the Mac and Me clip. Yeah. The Mac and Me clip.
Always. Man. And I thought he was really going to play the clip. I was like, he's really going to play the never. They never played the footage from any movie.
Yeah.
It was always the Mac and Me going down the hill.
I mean,
that goofy ass alien.
But I mean, I really enjoyed it. And like the kills and stuff were pretty interesting. And like, you know, it wasn't a full out, like in your face gore fest. But it was way, way more gory than the original, you know, the 2018 one, of course.
Oh, yeah. Well, they treated Michael Myers almost like fucking Jaws, man.
Yeah, right. A force of nature.
You have like the full on carnage of the opening scene where he kills the firefighters, the trailer footage.
That was so cool.
And then we get the last 5 minutes of the movie where fuck the town. You know, like he just straight, like everybody's beating the shit out of him and everything. And you're like, oh, that's cool. They're taking turns. And then you just see the thing. Then you just see his turn. And I thought it was really tastefully done of them doing that while Laurie is explaining what Michael Myers is.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really fucking cool too, because the way they shot the kills, instead of it just being like camera on the street, they did it almost like the credit style where it's like, you know, a pumpkin's coming to the screen. It's just in like a sea of black and it's just them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really cool cinematography, dude.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That shot of him holding that fucking thing when the house is on fire behind him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, want a t-shirt.
Dude, him, that shot right after that where he sticks it in the firefighter's helmet.
Yeah.
And the camera's inside of it.
How dope was that?
And then like when it cuts to that same shot where the guy's laying on the ground and you see it through the helmet.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh. Oh, you had it like that.
I wonder how many times they had to shoot that to get the right cut. You know what I mean? I feel like that's a very tricky shot to pull off.
They did some great stuff, but it just makes me that much more excited for Halloween Ends.
Yeah.
So, favorite kill. What's y'all's favorite kill?
Man, there were so many.
Yeah. When he kicked the door.
Oh, and it shot the gun.
That bitch shot herself in the face. Yeah. That was pretty.
So nobody in this movie can aim, apparently.
At all.
Yeah.
Message.
Yeah.
I was waiting for a Wayans to pop out, man.
Okay. There's so many.
Yeah.
Dude, I would say it's not a kill, but when that dude jumped off that building and it shows his body and his brain and shit's on the ground and he's still like flinching, I was like, I think he's dead. He needs a med pack, you know?
That's one of them fucking Terraria splats when you have fall damage.
Yeah.
Mine's a tie, and it's between him killing the old couple at the beginning, because it's that shot
with the light.
Where he's taking a knife off of the fucking thing and planting it in that dude, and then you're grabbing another one, and then you realize he's just trying to find the one that feels good.
Yeah.
he's test running that shit.
He's using that dude as a pin cushion.
And I don't know why. I guess it's just because it was so fucking just crazy. It was near the end when when Michael's got Allison's boyfriend.
Uh huh.
She's at the foot of the steps.
Yeah.
And he takes him and racks him through that fucking the guardrail on the stairs, and he's just pulling him up, pulling him down.
I thought he was gonna rip his head off.
Fucking ragdolling his ass, and then when he finally goes to fucking pursue her, he stops and snaps that motherfucker's neck just to make sure he's dead, dude.
The light bulb was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, dude. That he was just brutal. Snaps that shit and is like, well, it's just the slowness, dude. It was like the way they filmed it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like that's what that, like
when he stabbed like that doctor in the face.
Yeah,
that was fucked up. The when he stabbed Big John in the armpit, I was just like, "Oh, you know that hurt
a lot of uncomfortable stabbing."
There was so much killing. I mean, it makes sense. It's Halloween Kills. I was like, they kind of went with that template though. It's like it's the sequel. It's got to be bigger. It's got to be better.
Yeah,
more killing.
I just imagine Danny McBride being like, "He's Michael fucking Myers, guys."
Yeah,
like
yeah. He's fucking in, you're fucking out.
Yeah. A lot of great. And it did feel like a middle film, but at the same time, it's like, I just sat back and enjoyed the ride.
Yeah.
Like 110% enjoyed it because like, well, you know, like, what
it is. It's probably the most slasher film has been in a long time.
Oh yeah. Yeah, for sure.
It absolutely tops the first one in terms of like just brutality, you know?
Yeah. And you know that like the people that need to survive obviously are going to survive. Michael's not going to die. Like, you know that that's not going to happen. So I just like buckled up and just enjoyed the shit show, like the bad decision making, the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
I do have a prediction though.
All right.
By the end of Halloween Ends, that granddaughter's going to be evil as shit, and she's going to, like, something's going to happen that's going to turn her into something. You know what I mean? And I don't think it's going to necessarily be good.
Yeah.
Because you got to think, since the first film up to now, this chick has just been traumatized left and right, and now she's going to find out that her mom's dead upstairs. Because I think he kills effectively everyone but Laurie and the granddaughter.
And the old cop.
And the cop, yeah.
Like, thin that cast down for the finisher.
That'll be the
three
that goes after him. Maybe the black cop will be there, too.
I'll be all right with that.
Yeah.
And I put this in movie news, but I'm going to go ahead and hit it here real quick. So, Halloween Ends will begin with a 4-year time jump. So it says Halloween Kills director David Gordon Green has teased what's to come for Laurie Strode and The Shape in the upcoming trilogy finale, Halloween Ends. In a new conversation with Collider, the filmmaker has revealed that Halloween Ends will open with a time jump, bringing the events of 2018, the events out of 2018 and into the present day. He said there is a time jump. It gets back onto our contemporary timeline, so it'll jump 4 years. This weekend, I was rampaging on a new pass of it, but we start prep in 2 weeks and they're wanting me to lock in something more definitive, which I think will be good. We'll be in good shape for that to shoot in January. The script's in great shape. It's just a matter of committing to certain paths and characters and constructing new set pieces. So, of course, you know, Leap in 4 years will bring it into the present day. No doubt be used to bring Jamie Lee Curtis, Laurie Strode back into the fray. Spoilers for Halloween Kills is to follow, and then it goes into all that kind of stuff. But so there's going to be, because it is like this one and the previous one all happens in the span of like 2 days, right?
Mm-hmm. Like one night, I think.
Yeah. So like, and then they're going to, which is kind of interesting. Like, I would like to watch them back to back.
Yeah, it's all one long movie.
Yeah, pretty much. And then watch the follow up to it. I may do that when the next one comes out. But yeah, so we're going to have the time jump. And so are they going to be prepping the whole time? Like, are they looking for Michael?
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions here, you know? So.
Yeah, but when it comes back, I picture her and the granddaughter, and they've built another, yeah.
Racking shotguns.
Hill House. Fucking, like,
yeah,
we'll be ready for him this time, you know?
I feel like the logical thing they're going to do, even though I don't want it to happen, and maybe it won't, maybe they'll surprise us.
Yeah.
But Laurie has repeatedly said throughout Halloween Kills that she's either got to kill him or they're going to kill each other. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that's going to happen. They're both going to die.
Girl lives.
But, like, fair trade. Wait, wrong movie. But, like, they essentially kill each other. But right when you think Michael's going to get up and be like, oh, I fucking did it, she's going to kill him. Or maybe they're going to go the route of Jason, where, like, he gets killed, all this shit, and then she's like, you know, it ends with her holding the fucking mask or something, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think, like, donning it and going around murdering, but, like, you know what I mean? Like tastefully allude that, like, the curse of Mike's moved on to her.
Yeah. Or everybody could die.
But it ends.
I mean, because think about the idea of, like, Candyman, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Candyman doesn't exist unless he gets brought up, and then, you know, the more power, the more that people become afraid of the superstition, the more powerful he gets, and that's kind of the thing on that. It's like, you know, this takes place 4 years from now. It's like, if Michael's dead, like, of course, a lot of the townspeople are going to be dead. A lot of people at the hospital. None of them saw Michael. Like, none of them know exactly what the fuck's going on. Like, they know of the story. They know of this. But a lot of that could just be chalked up to people being fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So, like, how do you wipe something like that from a town mentality? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it'll always and be that, there.
Right.
You know, but even the story.
What if, because of the way they shot that ending, what if they're going to pick up going that Michael did in fact die? And what we were seeing really at the end of that movie was the fear of Michael is so great that it's not that far-fetched to believe that he would slaughter everyone.
Right. Yeah. Because it's like...
They definitely weigh heavily into the supernatural aspect of Michael Myers in this movie, especially when, because he was stabbed repeatedly. I think a woman empties a whole fucking clip in his chest at one point.
Yeah.
Like, so.
And the director and the writer, I think it was David Gordon Green, it might have been the writer, came out and said that they, because someone asked them if they were going to touch on the supernatural aspect of Michael Myers and Halloween. And he said, basically what he said was no, what we give you is what you're going to get. Like, we're not going to like tap into it or anything like that. And it's like, I mean, does the fear of the unknown drive people to be fucking crazy? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, and you're right. Like, not a normal man.
Yeah. Like, 'cause there was a lot of supernatural shit in this film, and he did take a lot of pun. I mean, dude, like, there's no way that he should be alive.
Oh, he took a beating.
Yeah. But, I mean.
But the fear of him is so great in some of these people's minds, especially the fact that they're, that like, it's safe to obviously say that everyone in this movie, even the ones that are dead now, clearly, they all have PTSD.
Oh, yeah.
And using that as a narrative device, you could go all over the place with your, like, your story play while still being like, eh, that didn't happen because this actually happened.
Yeah.
This was inside their head. Mainly because, like, weren't they essentially sitting on the stoop of the house that was, like, literally 5 feet from the road where they were, where the gang up happens?
Yeah.
I don't know about 5 feet because she ran through some yards and.
I think it was like the next street over.
Because remember, she went between the houses.
Yeah.
And followed her. And it's like, why not just do it here?
I just, now that I'm thinking about it, I can't help but feel like maybe we got the two perspectives because they're gonna fuck with us in the last movie.
Yeah.
Like, I'm waiting for a twist where at some point Michael has been dead for quite some time. And it may not necessarily have to be the granddaughter, but it could be just a killer. And it's the curse of Michael Myers coming full circle.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's what I would like to see, and I know this will never happen, but like the next film, everything just be in Lori's head. And like, she's so fucked up and the granddaughter is so fucked up that they think that they are seeing him, but they're not. And they're just fucking batshit crazy. And like, he's almost like a ghost to them. He just haunts them wherever they go. Because more or less, he was already like that. You know, Lori lived her life in fear that he was going to show back up and it actually happened. It's like, if he really is dead, like, and she thinks that he's alive because the daughter's dead. I mean, that descent into madness.
That's going to send her over the fucking edge.
Yeah.
Cause she's still in that hospital room. Like she hadn't even found out yet. Probably going to get covered in the cold opening.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like, it's whatever amazing. It just seems like where they could go with this now. It seems like it's gonna be a hit no matter what, man.
Yeah, I'm excited, and whatever direction that they take it on, I think it's gonna be the right direction. Especially, you know, since they're like David Gordon Green is so passionate about the project, where he's still going over the script, and they're fixing to start shooting in 2 weeks, like. You know, most of the time it's finalized well ahead of time, right?
Yeah, months.
So if he's still going over it and still trying to tighten it up a little bit more, I mean, it's a passion project, of course, for him and McBride and everybody else that's involved with it. So I think they're going to do the right thing. It's just, how are we going to get there? Like, what route are they going to take? And that's what's going to be interesting to watch.
He's had like a couple of years to work on that script.
Yeah.
I'm just really glad they didn't hire Alec Baldwin to be in this movie.
Oh, my God. I mean, speaking of Alec Baldwin, do you want to fucking transition over to movie? Oh, we got a rating. I
give the movie a star.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I give it one, too. So do we give it the pumpkin, the skull, and the witch?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I like that. So if anybody's been living under a rock the last week, Eric Baldwin accidentally shot the cinematographer?
Yeah.
On the film he's been working on. And
had a real bullet.
Yeah, so apparently it was a prop gun. It had a real bullet in it.
That's a fucking shitstorm.
Yeah, and the more we've gone on throughout the last couple of days, the more we're finding out about it. So that wasn't the first time the gun had had this mishap happen. And then, like, the film crew left, right?
Some of the members did leave, yeah.
They walked off the set because of everything that was going on.
Safety concerns.
Yeah.
Including the cinematographer, she had safety concerns.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a bad situation all the way around. But
the girl, the prop master for the weapons,
yeah,
didn't have a lot of experience.
The
How
armor.
Do you put a, like, why is there a real bullet? That's the question. It's like, why would you? Because if you look at blanks a blank bullet doesn't have that tip on it.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, I could see where, I could see like where they were outside maybe shooting, like, you know, like shoot the bottle. It's for a scene, you know, the classic scene in the movie where the guy's going to practice his shot. So I could see them having a real bullet to maybe shoot a bottle or something. And then maybe it got left in there. Maybe.
But how does how it begs the question, how does a live round make it from from its case of bullets to the gun to all the way to Alec Baldwin's fucking hand, man?
When they gave him the gun, they said it was a cold gun.
You would think. I mean, obviously, a lot of policy failures.
Well, it was a low budget movie. They were cutting corners,
but just with guns being such a hot button issue politically nowadays, you would think that on a movie set there would be a level of overkill between a live gun and, you know, and it's just, I'm sure there's a lot of details that the situation's clearly still under investigation, but I love how they're trying to act like the gun just shot someone and Alec Baldwin didn't pull the trigger.
Yeah.
That's the only way it could have went off.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not necessarily a fuck Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, it's an accident. Not by
any
chance.
I mean, it could have been, it could have been any actor that happened to. And that's terrible that these type of situations happens, because the minute I saw the article, my mind, and I'm sure one of y'all probably did too, I immediately jumped to the Crow.
Yeah. Or Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a fucked up situation, man. And like, to me, it's like, it's one of those situations where it doesn't matter how big or low budget the film is. It's like, if we were getting together to film something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We would be, which we all know how to use weapons,
yeah,
right?
There'd be a lot of double checking going on.
Yeah.
Rounds would be allowed to be around.
No.
Yeah. Like, I better not even see your fucking index finger.
Well, they keep calling it a prop gun, but it's a fucking gun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
capable
a gun
of killing.
So I like how they call it prop gun.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a gun, dude. Might be a prop on a movie set, but you put a real bullet in it and it came out. So,
yeah. So, but it sucks, man. And, you know, maybe, you know, there's something to be learned here, and I hope it doesn't. Here's my thought process. Like,
I hope guns on movie sets.
Exactly. Yeah. I hope it doesn't go full extreme.
They're already starting petitions.
Of course.
Yep. To have no guns on a movie set, you'd have to have like just a bullshit gun and CGI it. And
well, in that argument's defense, Robert Rodriguez was able to pull it off completely digitally in Once Upon a Time in Mexico. Every gunshot that you see in that film was entirely digital.
Yeah.
I think reason why this movie, you know, it's a low budget, so they kind of got to go with the practical effects a little more. They don't have the money to.
Yeah. The blooper for that movie is hilarious, because I'm sure you can find it on YouTube, but I remember seeing it on the special features back when I rented the movie. Fucking,
isn't he like when he shoots? Is he not going bang bang bang?
Yeah,
yeah.
Antonio Banderas is going. Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, because there's no sound.
Yeah. But I thought it was a really interesting and really cool thing, a little like little nugget of information when he was explaining that everything in the movie, from the blood, the way Johnny Depp, the way they do his eyes at the end, like all that shit, every fucking, not, there were no practical effects in that movie.
Right.
The cinematographer, Trav, was the cinematographer on Arch Enemy that we just watched.
Really?
She shot that movie, yeah.
Man, that's awful.
Yeah. Sucks, but, you know, things, unfortunately, things like this happen.
I also think that surely Alec Baldwin doesn't need to be in front of a camera for a while.
I don't think they should finish the movie.
No, I think
they just need to pull the plug on that operation.
Yeah, that needs to be scrapped.
It'd be disrespectful to, I think, finish that.
Yeah.
But, you know, in today's world, they'll be like, man, finishing it'll be the best tribute to her ever.
That's fucked up. It's like, finishing the movie she was killed on, like, it's kind of like in The Crow, how they used the take where he actually got shot, and it's like, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Just a hair, you know? So. Next up we have here Evil Dead Rise wraps filming as director shares blood-drenched images. Looks like one thing that can be guaranteed about the new Evil Dead Rise is that there will be blood, lots and lots of blood. Lee Cronin, the director of the latest movie based on the Evil Dead franchise, tweeted a handful of behind-the-scenes stills as he celebrated the end of filming on the new movie, which will once more bring the deadites of the Necronomicon out of the darkness and into the lives of some unsuspecting victims. While it is always a welcoming sight to see another round of Evil Dead mayhem, an Evil Dead movie without Bruce Campbell's unlikely hero Ash Williams always has a bit of a mountain to climb for fans of the franchise. So can Evil Dead Rise chop its way to hell the king? Well, it does have a few things going for it. 8 months, one COVID lockdown, 6,500 liters of blood, and more memories than my brain can even process. That is a wrap on Evil Dead Rise. Thank you, New Zealand. It's been a blast. Time to head home and cut this beast together.
Look how much blood he's got on him just from shooting.
I know, right? It's
clean.
Freaking.
His Evil Dead shoes.
Yeah. I mean, it's Evil Dead, man.
A lot of blood.
I think they're going to find a way of honoring Ash, whether he's in it or not. And that's
good. Yeah.
Like, I mean, for crying out loud, it would be cool as shit if they did something in the Necronomicon where they talked to, you know, where they're trying to find something that can counteract it, and you just see a brief and you miss it of like this dude looking all barbarian looking, like almost like Frank Frazetta, but it's just this exaggerated as fuck picture of fucking Bruce Campbell wielding a fucking boomstick, and then he just keeps flipping, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. But yeah, we have that to look forward to, and I'm very interested to see, you know, how this film plays out. I think it's going to be a great time. I mean, the reboot or the follow-up, whatever you want to call the one that came out, what, 2013?
So is this its own thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different director and everything.
So yeah. Like, okay.
And it's got their blessings.
Yeah.
So,
hey,
as long as we can take clips of the Deadites getting fucked up and put it to the Doom music.
Yeah, right.
I think this one's going to be a little more Evil Dead than that other one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, with the weirdness.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that Lee Cronin has not only directed, but he also wrote the film. So I'm interested.
We should watch his 2019 film, The Hole in the Ground, just to see what he's like.
Yeah. I'm down for that, man.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can find a trailer real quick to tack on.
I think we watched the trailer.
Did we?
Yeah, back we were talking about him. And when we looked him up, we were like, he's got a movie, you know, that he did, this movie, The Hole in the Ground. And I think we watched the trailer. I mean, we watch it again, but
Oh, I remember. It's that fucking kid. I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we ain't gotta retread.
Next up here, Charlie Cox says, "Be careful what you wish for about Daredevil's return." Charlie Cox is still refusing to confirm any rumors of his imminent return as Matt Murdock in the MCU, but the Daredevil star is also teasing what a potential return to the role might look like. For 3 seasons on the hit Netflix series Daredevil, Cox impressed Marvel fans with his performance, and ever since the series ended, many have demanded for him to pop back up elsewhere in the MCU. There have been a lot of rumors, but nothing, no official crossover has happened at this time. In a new interview with SiriusXM's The Pop Culture Spotlight, Charlie Cox was again approached with the idea of reprising his Daredevil role. Cox could only speak about this while saying that it's purely speculative, making it clear that there's still nothing official on the board, unless it's still a secret, of course. He also warned fans that such a return may not be what they're expecting, as even if he did return to the role, it could be as a reimagined version of Matt Murdock. Cox also feels bringing the character back could risk tarnishing the high note Daredevil had left on. Here's what he had to say in the interview. "So, if there was an opportunity for me to come back as Daredevil, whatever that would look like, I imagine it would be a reimagining of the character and the show. If they chose me to do it, there are going to be some elements that are, of course, the same, or they might choose someone else and reboot it all over again. You've got to be careful what you wish for. You come back and it's not as good, or it doesn't quite work, or it's too much time has passed. It doesn't quite come together in the same way. You don't want to taint what you've already got. If we never come back, you've got these 3 great seasons of our 3rd season was our best reviewed. So the trajectory was up. I'm tremendously proud and grateful for what we have." So, I mean, he's coming back at some point.
Well, he's going to be in that show.
Well, this right here, right underneath that was something I was going to touch on, where people are thinking he's going to appear in No Way Home.
Yeah.
And I feel like maybe I'm just being too analytical here, but when he does the whole, "You've got to be careful what you wish for," that's what Doctor Strange says to Peter.
Yeah.
When he rips the fucking multiverse out.
Well, you remember everybody thought it was him because you could see where he's like talking to a lawyer or somebody. He's at the police station. Well, if you watch that trailer in IMAX, you could see the guy's face because of the shot's wide enough, and it's not him. So if he's in there, that wasn't him. But that could be a trick.
Yeah.
Because that's just the only time you see that guy's face, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's not him. A different dude.
Yeah.
But he's coming back in that show. That's already been confirmed that he would return in that show. So what's the confusion, you know?
Well, I think that, like, you know,
there's probably more to it than.
Yeah.
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 I mean, there's going to be a lot of people showing up in Spider-Man, so why not?
Yeah, right. I hope that he's in it, of course, but, you know, will he be in it? Who knows at this point? But he was a great Daredevil. And I'm excited, you know, if they do decide to bring him back. At this point, whatever. You know? Like, they have some great casting from the Netflix stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, last week we talked about John Bernthal. You know, people were asking him if he would play Wolverine if they offered it. And he's like, "Well, I really want to play the Punisher." He's like, "I'm not saying I would turn down the Wolverine role, of course, but like, I want to play the Punisher."
Kind of already found my thing.
Yeah, so, you know, it is what it is. We'll see what happens, but I think that there's something more going on behind the scenes that he don't want to get involved in because, you know, maybe it's a situation where maybe he does pop up in that, or maybe, you know, he pops up in one of these upcoming films. And like he's unsure of what they're going to do with the character, and maybe he's afraid to say anything.
Yeah.
So we don't ruin his chance at it or something. You know what I mean? So
he's probably NDA'd out of his mind.
Yeah, right. He don't know what to do. Yeah. He don't know what to say. It's like, why am I doing all these interviews? So next up, we have some Clerks 3 news. Yeah, boy. Looks like we'll be heading back to the quick stop to check in on Dante and Randall once again in 2022. Recently, Kevin Smith announced that filming on Clerks 3 had officially wrapped. And as this serves as another sequel to his very first movie, it's a bit of a full circle moment for him. The project is in the works at Lionsgate, and while the studio hasn't yet set an official release date, Smith has revealed in a new tweet that the movie will come sometime next year. This is what he said, and since I still can't let it go, Clerks 3 in 2022, that's what he tweeted out. Kevin Smith's Clerks premiered in theaters 27 years ago today, October the 19th, 1994. Says one tweet from Retro News Now. Smith retweeted it and added his own message that reads, "And since I still can't let it go, Clerks 3 in 2022." Of course, it goes into the backstory.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be on some anniversary. He's weird with dates.
Yeah, I know. Right?
Places. So I'm sure it'll be on some anniversary or something.
Yeah, right.
He's like, what if we just held on to it until it's the 30th? And it's like, dude, put it out.
Yeah, just let it go.
Put the weed down.
Yeah, right. Yeah, please.
I've got the trailer. They mentioned his documentary there. I've got the trailer for that in the trailers. I didn't want y'all to see that and think it was a Clerks trailer. Because when I saw it, I was like, oh, it's a documentary.
Right.
I got real excited.
But yeah, that's going to be pretty good stuff, man. I'm excited. I hope they do a roadshow tour, but if they don't, I'll watch it at the theaters, at home, wherever I can get it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then last up here, J.K. Simmons is officially returning as James Gordon in HBO Max's Batgirl movie. So Leslie Grace has gotten her wish as J.K. Simmons will play her father in HBO Max's upcoming Batgirl movie. There were rumors that Simmons was in talks for the project, and Deadline now reports that the actor is now on board to reprise his role as Commissioner Jim Gordon. Bad Boys for Life star Jacob Scipio has also joined the cast, with Bad Boys for Life helmers. Christina Hodson wrote the script, and Kristen Burr is producing. In Batgirl, Grace plays Barbara Gordon, Jim's daughter who fights crime in Gotham as the titular vigilante. Because it hasn't been confirmed that J.K. Simmons would appear, Grace has said she was hoping for the veteran actor to co-star with her in the movie. She recently told Entertainment Tonight she was freaking out about the rumors that he would return, declaring out loud to Simmons, "I'm ready to learn a lot from J.K. Simmons. If you're listening, huge respect, and please play my dad. I hope you're my dad."
Since they wrote this article, Brendan Fraser signed on to play the villain.
Yeah, and they haven't confirmed who the villain is,
I don't think so.
And I think they offered it to somebody else,
Sylvester Stallone.
Yes, and he ended up turning it down.
Yeah,
which is fucking crazy.
He's like, Batgirl movie. Wait a minute. What if it's he wasn't gonna play Mr. Freeze. That's a different action star from the '80s.
Yeah,
just imagine him doing Mr. Freeze, Brendan Fraser.
Oh, I thought you was talking about Sylvester Stallone. Yeah. I mean, he could.
Yeah.
I mean, he's sad.
Yeah.
sorry, I still got a little bit of a cold here, but yeah. So Batgirl's coming out. I mean, you know, we'll see what happens with it, you know. I'm fine with J.K. Simmons coming back.
Yeah. So this is something completely different, right? Because they had some kind of TV show.
Yes, this is different. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, a Batgirl movie, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it'll come to HBO Max and we'll be able to watch it streaming. I thought that J.K. Simmons was like a perfect pick for Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
And like, he was great in Justice League and that was fucking awesome. But like, he was only there for like just a second, you know? So I'm hoping, because if they do a Batgirl film correctly, it could be really good. But
they're saying that he might play Firefly. I don't know who that is.
Somebody I don't know a lot of. Yeah, I don't know a lot of Batgirls villains, you know. But yeah, that's all the news that I saw. I mean, there's a couple of little tidbits here, like the dude from The Raid is going to play the villain in The Expendables 4.
Bill Murray in Ant-Man.
Yeah. That's going to be cool. Playing,
but he's going to be in the Ant-Man movie.
He's just going to play himself and just kind of wander on set. Yeah, right. You guys making a movie here?
Yeah.
So. But yeah, that's all I saw, man. A Quiet Place is getting a video game.
Huh?
Has anybody watched Dune?
I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either.
I kind of power grind today. Yeah, I watched it. And I'm just going to hold my thoughts.
Yeah, it's coming up next week. Are you going to give it a pre-star?
I ain't saying nothing. All I'm saying is that, like, cliffhanger as fuck, as we knew was going to happen.
Yeah.
But, like, this director has a very good eye, and you'll know what I mean when you see it.
Yeah. I'm excited to watch it, man.
Indeed. For a borderline 3-hour movie, maybe?
Yeah, it's like 2.5.
Something like that, yeah. Okay. Shortest 2.5 hours I've ever seen. Well, not ever, but I haven't. It's been a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it like watching Justice League Snyder Cut?
Yes.
Because that didn't feel like 4 hours.
I can say this because it doesn't. I mean, we know this story, but I will say it's the most digestible version of this yet.
Right.
And you'll know what I mean. Like the exposition in the movie. It's quick, it's simple, it explains it. Like, they don't treat you like an idiot trying to explain shit, and they do it in the same way as, like, this is that, let's move to the next point. Like, let's go. Like, they haul ass through some plot, but it's well paced to me.
Right.
I mean, who the fuck am I? But, like, there were no boring parts in this movie.
Right. Hell yeah. I'm excited to watch it, man.
I will watch it a second time. Like, before we review it. Like, it's that good.
Right. Hell yeah. Hell fuck yeah.
Hell. Hell far.
We got some decent little trailers here for us this week.
We got some trailers.
Oh, cool. They made a Metallica song into a film.
Yeah. Dub the Unforgiven. Bow, now, now. Yeah, I'm looking forward to peeping that. Like, everything that I've heard, like, no spoilers, but everything that I've heard, everybody's like, fuck yes.
Yeah, movie's beautiful.
Yeah.
That seems to be the...
Respect the drip, gentlemen.
It looked pretty.
It should. They spent a lot of money on it. The next one's been greenlit. So they're
good. You know, he was freaking out.
Yeah, because they didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, goddamn, hope people like it, because.
Nah, man, like, it's with it being a two-part film, like they're going, as one would expect, all the shit in this movie is what's going to make the next movie get balls to the wall, and it's justified. Total build-up movie. There are absolutely some cool moments where some shit's going down, but, like, this is definitely a, let's just, I need to shut the fuck up.
Sandra Bullock.
We'll get to it. Yeah, let's see this Unforgiven trailer. I'm Shreddy.
She's in jail.
Yeah, she looks like Monster. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, Eileen, like Warner or something, whatever her last name was.
Well, just like, you know, because like normally, you know, Sandra Bullock is pretty attractive, but right here, she looks like she's done some things, saw some shit.
Yeah.
Unforgiven to play where it's like, Bullock looks pissed off behind that mesh glass pane. Anyway.
All right, 3, 2, 1, play. Is she going to be some badass? Uh-oh.
She looks like a junkie.
What do you mean you can't put no money on my books? I mean, she's getting stream sniped in jail.
Yeah, right.
Oh. I think she hit that kid with a vehicle, maybe. Somebody beat her up.
Yeah.
Yeah, this looks like something I'm not interested in. Oh, well, why would they give that away?
Yeah, right.
Well, I've seen the movie now.
I mean, it's got a good cast, that's for sure.
They shouldn't have given away good, a cop killer.
All good actors.
Yeah, why they gotta give shit like that away?
Well, because it's not boom, pow, bang. Let's save the world, y'all.
So the reason I put this trailer in here is I was skipping through it because I was like, what is this? No, you'll see, like, when Jesus, like, when she's like, please, Jesus, help me. Like, I was, as soon as he ran in and does what he's going to do in this trailer, I was like, copy, paste. You'll see. So I was just like, huh?
Let's fucking see it. I'm ready for it now.
All right. 3, 2, 1, play. I mean, I don't know if that's Jesus, but. Right here.
What the fuck?
That's all I saw and was like... You fucked those snakes up, dude. That looks strange.
It's like Satan's Alley from Tropic Thunder, for real.
Yeah.
The coveted crying monkey.
I'm interested to see, like, what's happening there,
please
though.
Help me. And he shows up and starts slicing those snakes up. And it's like,
okay. Yeah, well, hop a hair.
He walks in. Serpents are my specialty.
This is only a simulation.
So we got a Mel Gibson film here.
Scotty's.
Tyrese. Too. Yeah, Mel Gibson and Tyrese Gibson. Aren't they related?
Ah.
Oh, one's Australian and one's American, right?
One's also black.
Okay, yeah. I mean, they could still
be related. They could be related.
Yeah, I mean, you know. All right, I'm ready.
All right, 3, 2, 1, play.
Okay.
We got Goodwill Gibson over here.
Just gotta call him up and just, you're not the same man you used to be.
He's like some secret killer.
This is double cross.
That dude looks like Elon Musk.
That's what I was fixing to say. Is that him?
Dude from Lost.
Like this is the guy from Lost. And what was it?
This is what happened when this is what happens when fucking SpaceX goes public.
This is the battle of the fucking bitcoins.
It shows Mel Gibson going, I don't give a shit about bit fuck.
He's a Dogecoin man.
When one tweet sends one man over the one edge.
Yep.
I'm podlocked on it.
In select theaters and on demand, same day.
I mean, they're trying to get nominated, dude.
Yeah.
All right, we finally got an Uncharted trailer, man. Starring Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg. What?
I feel like there might be a power struggle here. Like,
I know.
Like these two, are they going to fight it out for like the lead?
They've got to, right?
He's like, normally I'm the lead.
Yeah.
We're fucking Uncharted waters here, Tom.
All right, I'm ready for this shit.
All right, 3, 2, 1, play.
What?
National Treasure meets, oh, what's that game?
It's Tomb Raider with a
yeah,
dude.
That's, yeah. Oh, PlayStation logo.
Well, I mean, it's based on the game series.
I didn't know that. Okay. He's like, it's fucking Spider-Man. A payload. Somebody's getting a load out.
Yeah, right.
It wouldn't be a video game without some platforming.
Damn, he just got back in. It looks expensive.
Yeah, right.
I feel like it looks like it's going to be the perfect matinee film that you go watch, and then you talk about it for an hour, and then you move on with your life.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't look like it's going to stick, you know what I mean?
I think this is a Jake Gyllenhaal film, right?
Yeah, he's in it.
Is there any cowboys in it?
I don't know.
let's see.
Oh, it's got Candyman in it.
That's don't say that it. Is.
Four more times.
Griffin already said it once.
Yeah. We're running out of our limit here.
Candyman's over here. God damn it. All right, 3, 2, 1, play. It's like Speed.
I should have never read The Philosophy of Time Travel when I was a teenager. Look, Donnie, there's no such thing as time travel.
Oh, God. Every shot's an action shot, look. Come on in, I'll have to kill you. Damn it.
Who said Michael Bay could make a payday film?
Yeah. Oh.
Wow.
The skies are gray. Okay. He's not a corp. So now it's Speed.
Yeah.
A lot going on in this ambulance. God damn. It's never this cool in real life when someone robs a bank. Like, they don't break the 50 cal out.
No.
They just shoot their tires out. I need an ambulance.
I like how they don't even show the ambulance stuff happening until like a minute and a half into the trailer. It's like, oh, okay. All right, we got a Bruce Willis new action movie, Deadlock. I guess Deadpool was taken. All right, I'm ready.
All right, 3, 2, 1, play. I'm retired. Whoa, shit. Huh?
Is he going to get his baby girl back?
So it's payback. It's fucking Die Hard. But he's the villain. And this guy's got to save him. Mm-hmm.
You had to put that in the trailer.
When you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
Yeah. And star in shitty B movies.
The dude playing the hero looks older than him. He just dyed his hair.
Yeah.
Is it?
Acting classes? No. Wow.
Not even trying.
How the mighty have fallen.
I know, right? Is this that,
It is.
Yeah.
A real trailer. With...
Okay. 3 minutes long. Let's... All right. Let's see what we got.
I think we watched a teaser.
Yeah.
For this.
I remember.
All right. 3, 2, 1, play. Those two would probably be pretty good together.
Yeah.
That's funny because she's going to play Cleopatra.
I know, right?
Lift with your neck.
Uh-huh.
The same prison from Black Widow.
Yeah, right.
She's the Wonder Woman set. Kevin Hart wasn't available.
Yeah, right.
The Brahma Bull. A lot of action going on.
Looks like a silly good time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we got the Black Friday trailer.
Yeah, let's fucking peep this Travis shit.
Travis is the Bruce Campbell movie.
Oh.
Pretty skate, dude. I'm ready for it.
3, 2, 1, play. It's a wizard.
Pretty wizard, dude.
Spawn. He looks like a principal.
Yeah, all right.
Without the zombies, Black Friday's a nightmare anyway, so
yeah.
Be... They're fighting over TVs. Silly goose time. It's going to be ridiculous.
I say we watch that the week of Black Friday and let that be our, or at least when we come back for from Thanksgiving.
I'm totally down for that, man.
Yeah, it says it'll be available the 23rd.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that because that looks like a goofy ass time. All right, we got a Clark trailer here, but not Clark's 3.
Yeah, it's clear.
Is this the
documentary?
Yeah. I'm kind of excited about this. Let's fucking roll that beautiful bean footage.
I have a drinking game you can do with Kevin Smith. Every time he gets emotional
or take cries, a shot.
Yeah.
Or his eyes widen.
Yeah. You take a shot. Anytime he brings up almost dying.
Yeah.
You take a shot. All right.
I mean, you'd be out in the first 10 minutes. Yeah. Yeah, right.
God damn it. Is he talking about the heart attack again?
Get out of sight.
And then he talks about the heart attack and the other one at the same time. So you got to fucking take the shot, drop it in the cup of beer.
It's like, when's that got to stop?
He's crying while talking about the heart attack. It's like, fuck. All right. 3, 2, 1, play. Scam BC Scott. Take a shot. Schooner. Oh, it's not just Clerks we're talking about here.
Okay.
Yeah. He did. He's a part of pop culture. I've seen everything else, so I'll be watching that.
Yeah, for real, right?
It'll be interesting to see all the, you know, that the in-between footage. Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if they got Brian, Walt, those guys. I mean, why not, you know?
I'm sure we'll see him in some capacity.
Yeah, right. So, what is Knight Raiders? Starring Ella Maja Tallfeathers? Tailfeathers.
Oh, I was like, what?
Yeah, that's...
What a name.
Yeah, right. All right. Let's fucking do this thing.
It's Sandian, you know?
Sandian.
All right. Will I leave my comment? Yeah. 3, 2, 1, play. Way too dark. Like, is she shooting a drone? It's probably like an $800 drone.
Yeah, right.
Nobody anymore. Nope.
What?
What?
Unvaxxed, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Okay.
I recognize her from something.
Okay. Looks like a lot of stuff happening in that trailer.
A lot of drones.
Yeah. Dr. Brain? Is this Pinky and the Brain?
It's a foreign.
This is director of I Saw the Devil and Tale of Two Sisters. Okay.
All right. Oh, Apple TV. 3, 2, 1, play.
Mm-hmm.
Digging the way the subtitles are done.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I wonder if that's just for the trailer.
Definitely like the way it's shot. Looks like the cell.
Well, I was thinking.
Yeah.
What are you doing down here?
Nothing. I'll leave it. I think with all the other big shows and movies, we're going to start seeing more coming out of the East.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah. He's tripping.
Wonder if the more he uses that shit is what's fucking with him in the real world. I have access to Apple TV. My wife's got it, so I would really be down to watch this.
Yeah, that looks trippy as hell.
That's how you make a trailer.
Yeah. I know.
Don't give a full movie away.
Quit. Quit.
All you know is it's on some weird.
Weird good. With the feast. First we feast.
Well, fancy feast.
Okay.
I think this is foreign.
I'm down for it.
All right. 3, 2, 1, play.
I'm DTF. Down to foreign.
DTR.
Down to read. Cantaloupe.
Strange. It's making me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Wait a shot. It's kind of shot like a Parasite.
Yeah.
A lot of wide shots, like a lot of indie films try to do. Makes it eerie.
Watch a movie with subtitles.
It's gonna be I feel like it's gonna be a chick Descent into Madness movie.
Eat it.
Huh.
Fuck is happening, dude?
Just feeding people? To people?
Solid Green. It's people! Trippy trailer.
Okay.
Another one I'm down to watch.
Yeah.
This one guy commented, just in time for Christmas.
We got some hide and seek action happening here.
They've made a new one?
Possibly.
Or maybe there's just several films called hide and seek.
I haven't seen one with this guy in it. The guy from Tudors.
Tudors? Jonathan Rhys?
Yeah, and he played
Jonathan Rhys Meyers.
Elvis in the Elvis movie.
Okay.
It kind of looks like him. A little Panic at the Disco over here, you know?
I know, right?
All
right.
3, 2, 1, play.
Looks like a slow burn. Squid Game?
This dude is Irish.
That was kind of stupid. Can you hear it? Zoom in, zoom in, zoom in.
So you gonna go pale Nimbus on him?
Owl's home.
Mm-hmm.
What's happening?
I don't fucking know, dude. Who the fuck knows?
They dropped the trailer today.
Okay.
So far, what I've seen looks cool.
Yeah.
I'm interested, man.
Been a flick.
They have recently brought the anime onto Netflix, and definitely gonna have a fresh rewatch of it before the adaptation comes out.
Right.
It really is a good show.
All right, 3, 2, 1, play. I'll full screen it.
Already sold.
Fucking right, dude. The cinematography for this is nutty, like. And that hairdo.
Yeah.
Silly ghost time, dude.
Fuck yes to every bit of that.
Yeah, that was badass. I like the way, the style.
There's a lot of faithful shit that I already saw in the trailer, so I'm very much hyped.
Hyped?
Noise.
No, noise. All right, they're outside. I don't know. This is like a low budget thing, but somebody was talking about it, so you know.
Three, two, one, play. Face and fuck you. He said agoraphobia.
Yeah, I think so.
That's like people that don't want to leave. Yeah. They don't want to leave their house. They're called skinwalkers. You kind of sound like Tenet there. All right.
That looked fucking dumb.
They're outside.
Skinwalker. Oh, yeah, look. They have shapeshifters. Skinwalkers, dude. If you hear something in the woods at night saying help, it's a skinwalker.
I mean, I don't ever listen to the woods anyway, yeah. So fuck that shit.
Dude, if you go in a house, I don't even believe in ghosts, but if I go in the house and there's a pentagram on the floor surrounded by candles, I'm getting the fuck out of there.
Yeah,
no
right.
No good's going to come from that.
You're not going to go look in the bathroom.
No. I'm like, yeah we're leaving.
I got to take a wicked pisser, you know?
Not in this house. Nah. I'll piss outside. Yeah.
I don't even think. I feel like we probably wouldn't even approach a house that may or may not contain that.
Yeah, we usually don't go into abandoned houses.
Yeah. No, not for real.
Not into that.
Because that's how you find that shit.
So next week?
Yeah. Next week we got Dune, man.
I'm excited.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've been trying to avoid any and all spoilers, but I've also heard good things about it, so.
Yeah, I just saw a bunch of people on Twitter that are like, the movie looks great.
Yeah.
The look is great.
I would recommend, if you could go to the theaters, go watch it in theaters.
I saw a lot of people say that.
Yeah.
I saw it in IMAX, and like they were like, go watch it.
If that's not an option available to you or not something you're even down for, at least try to do yourself the best favor by watching on the biggest screen in your possession.
I can't wait to watch it.
Something. Do I have it on here? Yep, right here. Check general. I'll be watching it on this.
Oh my God.
Saw that on Twitter.
That's crazy.
Are you watching Dune on your smartwatch?
I mean, claw your eyes out at this point.
It's like, dude, there's no way you got enough battery to get through that movie.
Like, Michael Myers needs to come gouge out your eyes if you're doing that.
That watch is going to be hot as fuck.
Yeah.
You know?
Hope he's around. Hope he's around some Wi-Fi.
But yeah.
I'm excited.
Up next week.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
With the David Lynch weather report.
Okay. All right. It's cloudy outside today.
Yeah. High of 75. Yeah. All I got. You guys good?
I'm beyond good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. As a pre-watch before the real watch, go watch the music video for a song called Orca by the band Low. Just watch it and then watch Dune. And then, I don't know, maybe shenanigans will ensue.
I think I might have seen this video. Yeah, I remember this. I like that band too. They're pretty good.
Very good.
Now we're on band shit.
Check the mail.
Yeah, I'm good.